All right, Exodus. We are in Exodus, chapter 25. Exodus chapter 25. And this is, I'm going to start building the tabernacle. Let's get some blueprints for it. So Exodus 25, there's a few things that all the furniture in the tabernacle and the whole setup is, it's going to be a lot of symbolism in it. There's some lessons that can be learned from, there's four different things that go on in this chapter. And we'll look at them, but before the Lord has the nation of Israel build the tabernacle, and before he even gives them blueprints for the tabernacle, he gives them blueprints for these pieces of furniture that'll go into the tabernacle. And that's going to communicate a couple things that we'll deal with. But let's read, at least read the first nine verses of this chapter. And we'll talk about the ark, we'll talk about the table of showbread and the golden candlestick and get through this chapter. But let's read the first nine verses here. So verse 1, Exodus 25:1. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, that they bring me an offering of every man that giveth it willingly. With his heart, ye shall take my offering. That's notable. The willingly part. So people have a decision to make, and it's a free will thing here. This is the offering which ye shall take of them: gold, silver, brass, blue and purple, scarlet, fine linen, and goat's hair, ram skins dyed red, badger skins of shittim wood, oil for the light, spices for anointing oil, and for sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate, and let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. According to all that I show thee, after the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all the instruments thereof, even so shall ye make it. So this is the beginning. He's given the law. He's given, you know, for the most part, the law. And now he's going to describe a place for God to meet with man. And that's the idea here. So let's pray, and we'll talk about this thing. Father, I pray you'd help us go through this, just going through the book of Exodus and dealing with now the tabernacle and the furniture and just some things that show what your priorities are with the nation of Israel back here with Moses. Pray you'd help us. I pray you would make the applications clear, need to be made clear, and that you would help us understand what we're reading. That's going to give us what we need. So I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, so four parts to this chapter. The first part is the offering part, the free will offering, verses 1 through 9. And so the Lord tells the people, bring these certain things, and he describes the things that are going to go towards the building of the tabernacle and the furniture. So he describes these, you know, what's the elements involved there, the gold, the linens, and stuff like that. And so these offerings are given notably as an act of, it's a free will offering. So God is going to use whatever people willingly offer to him. He's not going to steal anything from anybody. He's going to use what the people bring. And whatever they bring will build this tabernacle. And so that's something to take note of. The offerings given as an act of people's free will are the gifts God is going to use to build this house. And he says he wants to meet with the people. This has been some of the issue coming up to this point, he's told repeatedly, told Moses and the people to kind of stay away from the mountain, stay away, only Moses comes up and things like that. And so now he's going to establish, the Lord's going to establish a place to meet. And we'll deal with that in just a second. But take note of this. Take note of the free will offering, that it is an act of people aren't going to be compelled to do this. They're going to volunteer what they have. And this is how God is going to furnish the stuff for the tabernacle. And it's the way it works now. The ministry will go as far as people are willing to allow it to go. And so God will use what people willingly offer, and what they don't willingly offer, that is not going to be used. And so, same way back here in the Old Testament, that's what's going on. And now, the physical structure that's going to be built is, with furniture, with the tabernacle, it's going to be largely symbolic. There's a lot of symbolism in all of this, and we'll get to some of it. But now he's going to describe three pieces of furniture that are going to go into the sanctuary. The first is the Ark of the Covenant. That's going to go in. The second is this table that's going to have bread on it. It's called, the table of showbread in here, but just a table with bread on it. The third thing is the candlestick, the golden candlestick that's going to provide light for the sanctuary. And so those three things will discuss in a little more detail here. First, notice this, that when the Lord starts to build this structure, or at least describe the building of it, he doesn't describe the pattern or the blueprints for the tabernacle itself. The first thing he starts to describe is the pattern for where he's going to meet with the people. So his priority is a place to meet. And just like any meeting, any sort of, Amos would say it this way, can two walk together except they agree? And the idea is yeah, you kind of got to agree on ideology in some way. I mean, you can kind of walk and discuss things. But to agree is to, we come up with a time and a place where we're going to get together. And that's what God's doing here with the nation. I'm going to come up with a time and a place where I'm going to meet with you. And this is the priority of the Lord. It's not necessarily the structure of the building, but where he's going to meet, say, face to face with the high priest there, it's going to be around this ark. And the Ark of the Covenant, it's you've probably seen it in the Raiders of the Lost Ark. It's basically a box that's about 4 foot long, 2 foot wide, 2 foot deep, and it's going to be made just extravagantly with gold and ornamentation and just all kinds of decoration. Just like some of the other furniture in the sanctuary. And the idea is that these people are building a temporary residence for a king. So it's gold. It's all the furniture is going to be gold. All the inside is going to be overlaid with gold. It's going to have highly decorative art going on inside there, and it's just going to be real ornate And the idea is royalty is going to be residing in here, and this is the idea. Heavenly King's going to be here, and this will be the meeting place. This first point, the Ark of the Covenant here. So let's kind of look at some of the description in verse 10. It says, "And they shall make an ark of shittim wood, 2.5 cubits, and shall be the length thereof, 1.5 cubits, the breadth thereof, 1.5 cubits, the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold within without. Shalt thou overlay it with, and shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about. Thou shalt cast 4 rings of gold for it, and put them in the 4 corners thereof. And 2 rings shall be on the one side of it, 2 rings on the other side of it. Thou shalt make the staves of shittim wood, and overlay them with gold, And thou shalt put the staves into the rings in the sides of the ark, and the ark may be borne with them. So that's how you're going to carry it. You're not going to carry it with the hands and just grab the sides of it. Got these rings, you put staves through it, and you carry it like that on their shoulders, which is what ends up getting some of the guys in trouble in I think it's in 2 Samuel. But he's describing how to carry it, how to move it, how it's going to be mobile, how it's going to be decorated, how it's going to be overlaid, even inside and out with gold. And the whole idea of this, he's going to describe, the Lord will describe, that this is the meeting place. This is where I'm going to meet you. And so this communicates a priority, that God's priority is to meet with man. And he'll later describe what the tabernacle looks like. But what you find out is all of the tabernacle, all of the outside stuff, all of these things that lead into the meeting place of God, all of these other things are going to be, accessories to the meeting place. The meeting place is the point. And so that's going to be the center, that's the priority. And everything else will be constructed around the meeting place. And so the ark communicates, first of all, communicates God's priority to meet with man. That's what he wants to do. And you can take a few things out of that. You find that if this is God's priority to meet with man, you examine your own life, examine my life, and you find out that a lot of things we make priorities are just not priorities to God. Like if it would have described to the nation of Israel what to do first, it wouldn't be build the ark. It would be, you know, you need to get a wall set up. You need to get some, you know, the tent set up over here. You need to start building a gate. You need to lay some foundation work and all that stuff. It wouldn't be make a meeting place. But that's God's priority. That's what he wants. And it really, you know, it shows, besides showing his priorities, it shows sometimes where our priorities go astray and where they're different. For instance, Jesus Christ dealt with this all the time with the Pharisees in the New Testament, where they're constantly making priorities out of things that just weren't priorities. For instance, he says, you guys tithe all your herbs and spices, which you ought to do that. You know, he's talking to these Pharisees that are teachers. He says, you know, you tithe all your herbs and spices. You know, you go to the spice rack and you, whatever, you get your spices, you bring them to the tabernacle. But the problem is you forget the weightier matters of the law, like righteousness and loving kindness. These things have more weight than the spices and the herbs. And so you ought to tithe the spices and the herbs that you bring into the sanctuary, but you shouldn't leave out the most important things, the spiritual matters, matters of the heart. And so there's people do a lot of things that just aren't priorities with God, and we make things priorities that just aren't priorities. At least not with God. And so consequently, you leave a lot of things undone that shouldn't be left undone. I don't know, when fellowship with the Lord is in its right place, it seems like a lot of other things just are in the right place. And that seems to be the way that works. You've got foundational priority. You've got the priority of the people's possessions, where they're going to offer freely what they want to offer to the contribution to the sanctuary and the building of it. You got priority of people's time, people's possessions, like we said. You've got a priority of people's relationships, things like that. The Ark of the Covenant not only describes the priority that God put on meeting with him and where he was going to meet with man, it's also a place, and it's characterized as a place of mercy. He says that as you go on to verse 21, thou shalt put the mercy seat above the ark, or above upon the ark. And in the ark thou shalt put the testimony that I shall give thee. And there I will meet with thee. There you go. There I will meet with thee. I will commune with thee from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubims which are upon the ark of the testimony of all things which I will give thee in commandment unto the children of Israel. So he's describing the meeting place. It's described and characterized as a place of mercy. And it's also going to be not only a place of mercy, not only does it communicate God's priority to meet with man, but it also is going to be a hidden place. This ark is going to be behind several curtains. And the priests come in, they minister in the sanctuary, and then the high priest would come in and he would minister in the Holy of Holies once a year. And so that's where the ark would be. It would be hidden behind several curtains, so it would be a hidden kind of a place. And which makes sense. When you get to the New Testament, when you get to the cross, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and one of the things that's described is when Jesus Christ dies on the cross, it says the veil of the temple was rent, was torn apart. And so all that partition of meeting with God is now destroyed. It's open access to the Father through the Son. And that's significant. That's why I'm saying a lot of this stuff is going to be symbolic and significant in that way, where it'll point to Jesus Christ, and then Jesus Christ will fulfill a lot of these things. So the Ark of the Covenant, it describes priority. It shows the priority of God wanting to meet with man. It's characterized as a place of mercy. It's going to be hidden, at least at this time. It'll be hidden. It'll be behind multiple curtains. And the high priest would be the only one who could enter in and minister in this Holy of Holies place. The second thing is this table with bread on it. And it's some of this stuff is very practical. It's just this would be not only symbolic, but the priests would actually eat of this table. It's the Lord's table. They would partake of this food on the table. And so in verse 23, he describes, "Thou shalt also make a table of shittim wood, 2 cubits, shall be the length thereof, 1 cubit, the breadth thereof, 1 cubit and a half, the height thereof." Cubit's like 18 inches. So you got a couple feet this way, 3 feet, maybe tall or long ways. Anyway, verse 24, "And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold, and make thereto a crown of gold round about it. Thou shalt make unto it a border of a handbreadth round about. Thou shalt make a golden crown to the border thereof round about. Thou shalt make for it 4 rings of gold, put the rings in the 4 corners, that are in the 4 feet thereof over against the border. Shalt the rings be for places for the staves to bear." So it's the same kind of transportation that the ark is going to have. You got the staves and you got these rings that the staves go through. That's how they carry it. And verse 29, "Thou shalt make the dishes thereof, the spoons thereof, the covers thereof, the bowls thereof, to cover withal of pure gold shalt thou make them." So it's goldware, not silverware. "And thou shalt set upon the table showbread before me always." So it'll always have bread on it. And he'll describe how to make the bread and stuff like that. But this communicates, this is like fellowship. It's a sharing the table with the priest would eat this bread. They would change it out every Sabbath. And they would eat the bread. 1 Chronicles talks about them changing it out every Sabbath. But it speaks of provision and fellowship. It's just like everybody sitting down to a meal. This is what God's communicating with the nation. He's going to sit down with them and have fellowship with them at the Lord's table. So it will be specifically for the priests, though, to eat while they're ministering in the sanctuary. And so this table will be called the Lord's table. And it's provision, it's fellowship, it's practical as well as symbolic. The bread would be divided into 6, 12 loaves. There would be 6 here and 6 here. And it would be, like I said, for the priests to eat while they're ministering. Then the last thing is this golden candlestick. Practically speaking, it's for light. Because inside the sanctuary, it's completely enclosed, and there's no light coming in. And so practically speaking, it's for light. But the way it's structured and the way this candlestick is built, it's kind of interesting going through the Bible, how it's described and what it symbolizes in pictures. So here's a little description of it. Verse 31. And thou shalt make a candlestick of pure gold. Of beaten work shall the candlestick be made. Shaft and his branches, his bowls, his knops, his flowers shall be of the same. Just before I read all this, I'm going to read a bunch of ornate stuff. It's like a menorah is what you're talking about. It's seven. It's got seven or six places for lights and one in the middle. So it's seven total places for little lamps, candles, little candles there. And it looks like a menorah. I guess it is a menorah, but golden candlestick. It has seven branches. It's indicative of these, which you'll find out in some of the prophets, the seven spirits, which I don't fully understand all of that, but describe the seven spirits of God, and they're searching, and a lot of times the spirit's described as light. It's something that searches. But this candlestick, it's for light, and it's highly symbolic. It's interesting when it shows up, obviously here, but in Daniel, one of the things that's described when there's the handwriting on the wall and the nation of Babylon is really going to fall. When that handwriting on the wall shows up, it shows up right over the candlestick that they brought into the palace and started to defile with all the partying and all that kind of stuff when Belteshazzar brings in that stuff. So it's interesting. But I'll give you a couple cross references. I don't understand them, but I'll just throw them out there for you, because it describes seven branches and seven lights that are connected to this candlestick. But you've got in Zechariah a couple places where it talks about these seven spirits of the Lord that go out and they search and they go over all of the earth and stuff like that. You have a similar description in Revelation about this stuff in Revelation 5. And even all through Revelation, it's kind of oriented as these seven angels that open seals and do stuff like that. So anyhow, or not open seals, they pour out things and they do whatever work they're doing in Revelation. But it all kind of connects back to a lot of this furniture. You've got the Ark of the Covenant, you've got this Lord's table with bread on it in the sanctuary, you've got this golden candlestick to give light, and all of this before God ever describes what the sanctuary is even supposed to look like. You don't know what it's supposed to look like, you just got furniture. And the furniture is all there to point out a couple of symbolic things. Number one, some of the symbolic things we talked about, but really it communicates the priorities of God to meet with man, to fellowship with man, and then also to give light to man, to direct his way, and thy words lamp unto my feet, a light to my path, that kind of thing. So all that said, that is the description of the furniture right off the bat. And in chapter 26, then he starts to describe what the actual sanctuary is supposed to look like. And we'll deal with that next week. But there's a lot in here. I mean, a lot we could, I debated whether to go over these things individually. But I mean, I guess we could one day. But I want you to get through some of this and deal with the main idea of what's going on here. What are we dealing with here? So you got a free will offering, you got the Ark of the Covenant, the table of bread, you got the golden candlestick, and then that's chapter 25. So where God meets with man, that's the priority in chapter 25. He's given the law, now he's going to describe a place, a time, and a place where he's going to now meet with man. And that's his priority. So hope that's helpful. Let's pray and we'll get out of here. Father, thank you for this time together. I pray it's been helpful just to quickly go over some of these things in Exodus. Thank you for your words. Thank you for this time together, and do pray we understand our Bibles a little bit better. It's a lot of stuff in here, a lot of ways to go with these pieces of furniture, but pray we'd understand the bigger idea and really what you're communicating here. Thank you again for eternal life in Jesus Christ. Thank you for these words that you've given us and how they feed our souls and feed our hearts and minds. And I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.